You know, we started as a project with the State Department in the U.S. We were doing some amazing Twitter walls and engagement, user-generated content with President Obama. The Dallas Cowboys came to us and they're like, we don't want to use your marketing tools for what you guys do. You guys are really good at capturing content. And we're starting to put that into some of our deals. And our immediate response is, we're for marketers. We're not for sales. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. You know, and it doesn't help that I'm a Commanders fan. But, and then they were like, what are you guys talking about? We're the Dallas Cowboys. You can't say no to us. So we did it. And lo and behold, our data and what we were able to capture for them was exactly what they needed.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We are continuing our month of focusing on women's sports and how sports tech can help women's sports. And to talk about it more on today's episode, of course, I'm joined by the lovely Kimberly Fernandez, our resident head of business development and pro footballer. Kim, how was your trip to Cape Town?
I had the best time. Although it was really cold, colder than I expected, it was filled with a lot of football and a lot of fun. So yeah, quite an exciting one.
We were all very jealous. So Kim went to Cape Town to play football. Throw that in everybody's face, why don't you? But no, she's come back home to Mumbai, all safe and sound. And she's here to host the episode, which is going to be a good one because we have got an exciting guest on our show for you today. Amir Zanozi, who is the CEO and co-founder of Zoomf, who is also a board member for Women in Sports Tech. He was put in touch to us, or the connection was made by the lovely Mary Lou from Women in Sports Tech. And Amir is an authority to talk to us about brand visibility and how that is so important in helping growing the market for women's sports. Like, we wanted somebody to talk about marketing and branding of women's sports like, and how we can reach new audiences. And Marley told me that Amir is the right guy to do that. So we're here. Amir, welcome to the show.
Love it. Thanks for having me. Excited to have this conversation.
And now I'll hand over to Kim to actually have this conversation. Let's go, Kim.
Thanks, Ron. And hey, Amir, we're so glad to have you on our podcast. Like Rowan mentioned, the month of July was focused specifically on sports tech for women's sports. And as a board member at Women in Sports Tech and the CEO and co-founder of Zoom, it's really great to host you on as our guest. So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about your journey with sport and what essentially led you to where you are today?
Yeah, Kimberly, thanks. That's a great question. Really excited to be here and very important topic. I mean, the amount of capital and commercial value that's being generated around women's sports is tremendous. Zoomf, who we are today is we're the authority in branded exposure across sports. We pull in social data, broadcast data, streaming data to help understand these partners, what value they're getting through their sponsorships and partnerships. But we didn't originally start here. We started as a project with the State Department in the U.S. We were doing some amazing Twitter walls and engagement, user-generated content with President Obama. And over the couple months, we got in front of Ted and Zach Leonsis and Monumental Sports, started doing things with the Caps and Wizards, and that was our gateway drug in the sports over maybe 10 years ago. But at the time, we were a marketing tool. We were pulling content in, ingesting it, doing really amazing things, working with Coca-Cola, Instagram, everyone you could think of, we were helping with social media content. Not until 2018, we had this moment where the Dallas Cowboys came to us and they were like, we don't want to use your marketing tools for what you guys do. And we don't want to pay you that subscription. We want to pay you a little bit because you guys are really good at capturing content. And we're starting to put that into some of our deals. And our immediate response is, we're for marketers. We're not for sales. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. You know, and it doesn't help that I'm a Commanders fan. But and then they were like, what are you guys talking about? We're the Dallas Cowboys. You can't say no to us. So we did it. And lo and behold, our data and what we were able to capture for them was exactly what they needed. MSG reached out to us a couple months later. They sent us this grainy iPhone 4 looking whiteboard photo of like an audience kind of data play that they were looking to build. We didn't know at the time. They sent it to 10 other people, but we said we would do it. And lo and behold, we did something exactly what they were looking for, showing them when two partners work together, the affinity grows over time with their social audiences. So we took those two signals and we're like, guys, we unintentionally built a really awesome partnership platform. So we spent all of 2019 refocusing the platform into this new product. And so essentially Zoom, as you know, today in sports, it's been the last 3-4 years that we've really been building this. And it's been an exciting journey. It's a story of perseverance, it's a story of fun, and it's the story of the attention economy. We essentially look at sports teams as the influencers in the sports economy, but now commercialized as a company, an organization processing, creating content, specialized in reaching fans in their individual regions. And we help understand that influencers' impact and value on behalf of these brands. And there's nothing quite like the impact that sports has. As you and I and all of us know, it's more of a religion than it is a hobby for a lot of people. And so it's amazing the impact that it has. And so our story is just one of, we constantly go out there and we ask our clients when we talk to them, be tough on us. We run towards the obstacle. We found out very early on that you have to address it. And me being technically an outsider, sports, I've never worked for a team, but I've been working with them for the last 10 years. And I have a little bit of an accent. People can, if you talk to me long enough, you'll know I didn't work for a team. But we've been working with politics. We've been working with the biggest organizations around media. And once we got this aligned into sports, we're helping to give an interdisciplinary view of what sports can be through the attention economy. And so it's very exciting what we're doing today. We work with some amazing organizations from WWE to Invisalign to NASCAR to PLL to Athletes Unlimited to LPGA to Angel City FC, all around men's, women's, esports, like 100 Thieves. We're always processing this data and we're looking at attention as a currency, content as commerce, and audiences as assets. And we're helping understand with the financial lens, what are these assets worth over time? What exposures mean the most? And then also understanding these fans are not homogeneous. Just because you and I both root for a specific team, we're very different individuals. How do we segment and understand the populations and groups and cohorts within fandom and attach that throughout the entire experience? So it's a long story, but it's a fun one. And we're excited about where we're going next.
Kimberly, I don't know if you noticed, but first of all, great. Thanks for that introduction, Amir. It was a fantastic answer. But I also wanted to point out, I've done about 170 odd episodes of this podcast. And that was the first time I believe that somebody name dropped Obama on one of our episodes. So, I mean, that record will stay with you for sure. Thanks for that.
Yes, we can. So yeah, no, it's it's crazy that we've been able to come in and over the last 10 years really understand this industry as outsiders. But it gives us that unique lens that helps us unlock more value through all the different types of clients and industries that we work with. But definitely excited our industry overall and just the value. I don't know if you guys are seeing some of these signals that I'm seeing, but sports, like there's nothing quite like it. It's attention based. The audiences are specific times. Replay is basically pointless. Like no one wants to go watch an old game. So you have their attention at this moment. And then at the same time, you have Apple and Google, Apple moving iOS 15 to 17. It's essentially neutered social ads and their effectiveness. And so now the attention that's being generated around sports is moving towards connected TV, is moving around social. It's all around the entity itself. So we look at sports not as the product, but as the platform. And the branded experiences that you build on top of this platform are the products in itself. And so it's really exciting. And this is where women's sports has really entered the map, where this moment of this attention towards equality in the world that we're seeing, and this moment where women are finally being put in these opportunities, they're on digital streaming, they're on it's streaming on linear TV in itself, the viewership is going up. And so we're finally understanding, and it's finally getting in front of these audiences at scale, that it's unlocking the entire value that women's sports has. And it's not just the attention and the performance that it's generating. Because Roan and Kimberly, you guys both are specialists in sports techs and startups. It's all about growth rate, right? And when you look at these new organizations that are coming and the growth rate that women's sports is having in comparison to men's sports that has been around for years and has tons of investment, that's the thing that's getting everyone so excited at the rate of growth that this is happening. And I think there's a new understanding because of this attention that's happening with connected TV and these audiences. These fans fan differently. They fan very much like esports fans, where sponsorships are celebrated and they go out of their way to celebrate sponsors with purchasing power. And so it's really, this is what excites me the most about women's sports, not because it's a charity or a feel good, or it generates attention, and it generates the attention from these right groups that have purchasing power that brands want.
All right, some epic context there, Amir. Completely agree with you on so many of those points. But I want to hand it back to you. So how is Zoom carrying this story? I mean, you've already mentioned a number of brands that you're working with on the men's side. How is Zoom carrying that story forward for women's sports?
Yeah, no, great question, Ron. So basically, we're coming in and helping these women's sports properties and the brands that are investing in women's sports to understand the value of their audience and the monetization opportunities they have on their content. And so when we work with an organization like an NWSL team, we first look at all their partners and then we process their media content and we leverage AI models to locate their either partner brand logos, their partner asset locations, or we're looking at some of the text and some of the content. Depending on the media type, we're going to value it differently. And we process this across all of their social. We can process this across broadcast or streaming. And we're able to take this and output, hey, this is the value that you received or provided these different brands across your different games in the entire season. The cool thing about it, though, is we're able to do this in real time. And so immediately we can look at, is there an asset that's not getting exposure that we thought was? Do we need to make a pivot in the partnership to make sure that the assets are aligned to what the brand is looking to achieve? And the other aspect of it is the audience analysis, Roan. So, and Kimberly, we can look at these different audiences and we can say, okay, you have an audience that has a high affinity for sustainability, not just within your market and city, but the entire league. And so for brands that are looking, especially right now, to deploy activations that are aligned to good causes, we can make this a different approach than spray and pray. Let me reach out to every brand and see what's happening. I can go very methodologically, take my data, take the audience insights I have, and go pinpoint the brands that have that target audience that they're looking to try to reach. And so it's pre-deal data, it's recap data, it's to show the growth over time. And so we're helping understand the ROI performance for these organizations. I know in the earlier podcast with the Monarch Investment Group, that was one of the things that she mentioned that was like, this is what we need. We need people giving ROI data. That's us. We've been doing it. And we pump out these reports, reports that people should be paying us for. Like, we put our best analytics and team behind it. But specifically, we do it towards women's sports because there's not enough resources behind these teams, and it still lets us leverage a marketing example to the rest of the industry that that we're giving away this data. And so what we hear constantly from different properties in women's sports, like, we leverage you guys' data all the time in our decks, and that's exactly what we want. It's an investment right now into this industry. And not only are we working with the teams and properties, but we're working with together. We're working with Just Women's Sports. We're working with ESPN, all these different groups that are now able to be the media agents behind this and amplifying it. And so this gives us a unique view of the entire ecosystem where we can connect the dots and help elevate the stories that matter most to fans. Long response, but it's really cool that we're able to touch so many components of the value of women's sports and help articulate that to brands.
Yeah, and you kind of also mentioned Angel City FC, and that's where I was going with my next question to ask about some recent successes, because like you said, we had Jasmine on earlier, who's part of Monarch, and you know, they've really made their presence felt, Angel City FC, with in the NWSL, and some successes. Are they one of them? And what other clients would make up for that?
Yeah, they're one of the first NWSL teams that we started working with, and their partnership model, where a certain allocated capital from the investment of the partnership goes to be deployed within LA and their community. And so you've got DoorDash that's helping women-owned businesses get more traffic, foot traffic and DoorDash sales as a result of their partnership. You have Allbirds that's donating clothes to local California. You've seen Sprouts, they're farming on their logo, on their kit jersey, provide food for local people. And so it's a model that we're seeing that other industries or other verticals within sports are looking to replicate. It's so impactful, and the partnership opportunities that they're able to tell, there's a huge demand for those brands to want to work with them. And so they've got enough of momentum where people are like, should I go spend this capital with the league, or should I just go to Angel City? But it's a rising tide that lifts all boats. And so because of their ability to understand the how to monetize this opportunity more effectively than some of the other women's sports properties that are out there, it's bringing more people to the sport and sports that and more brands to the opportunity in itself. In Angel City, every audience has a story to tell. Maybe some people want to tell a similar story, just not in LA. And so what they're doing is they're providing these case studies that work, that other markets can go in and replicate against. And the other thing that's so unique about them is their understanding of media. And you look at what is happening with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney with Wrexham AFC. You know, that was actually what Angel City has been doing with Natalie Portman and Alexis Ohanian. And even just measuring the value of their owners and the impact, like Serena Williams. She doesn't really share any social content around it, but her name, image, and likeness associated with it gives a lot of value. So, you know, they're very smart with how they're doing it. And you're seeing these new groups come in looking to replicate that same angle. So it's very exciting. And, you know, it's very cool to kind of work side by side with them and help them deliver value to their partners. But I will say, like, the way that we handle women's sports today is we look at all of it purely as performance and attention. And it doesn't matter if it's men's sports or women's sports or esports. We're an influencer. Like, we treat it as the attention is that currency, and there's standardization around it. But we are hearing from our customers and those in women's sports that there has to be another way of looking at this. So I'm doing my best getting myself out there, being a beacon to have these conversations one-on-one with other individuals around this industry to say, how do we really give this women's sports properties the value that they deserve? And I really, that's in the eyes of the brand that we have to understand if brands see that. And so we're having some really interesting conversations with brands, and always want to open myself to any brand that's out there that thinks that women's sports isn't being valued correctly. But our approach and our model right now is industry standard, and it's very exciting to see the value increase in the way that it has. And their social engagement is undeniably, I mean, just the year-over-year numbers are tremendous. Viewership numbers are tremendous. So, you know, not saying that the value that they're getting from their performance isn't that high as it is right now. It is pretty damn high. But there's also this sentiment of positive association and the cause-based marketing that comes with it that is very strong and is not being valued in a tangible way that we're looking at how to explore. It's exciting to see the different properties and brands and tech companies that are all in this industry and the investors that see the value here.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
And I really like how you put it when you said a rising tide that lifts all boats. And that's kind of what it is for like women's football currently. You know, everyone's riding the wave of the boom and the interest in women's sport. And also just talking about trend and what's working for like teams in the industry, or, you know, what one team is doing and others are trying to seemingly replicate. What would you say are the most important emerging trends in sports tech that could potentially shape the future of women's sport?
Yeah, one, I got to give a shout out to Ally and Andrea Brimmer and what they're doing with Sports Innovation Lab with the Women's Sports Club. They're building a group that is focused on generating business around women's sports. So her, Angela Ruggiero, Josh Walker, like, you know, all the work that they're putting together with these events, like right now they have a WNBA event at the All-Star. These events are critical, and it's critical for people to show up that are serious about business around women's sports. We've got to be a little bit more, I mean, it's an opportunity, it's an investment. If you're not looking in this space, then you might not be sound in your business operation thinking, because this is money. It's just negligent if you're not looking at investing in women's sports right now. It's one of the best opportunities to kind of be in. So we need those people to stand up and point their hands out. I'm here. I want to work in women's sports, and they engage. So women's events and women's sports club, that like events and groups like that are going to be really critical to kind of force some capital in business around this conversation. I think there's trends that we were kind of talking about earlier, you know, ads being less effective on social, connected TV ads being more effective because of increasing audience sizes. You looked at, the NWSL had almost 915,000 average viewers on the championship. WNBA had about 380,000 in their season. WNBA playoffs had about 440,000, a little bit under that. And so that those numbers are increasing significantly. The year-over-year growth on social is increasing, even though the ads might not be as effective. So it's more about the brands coming in and investing into these different assets. And then also understanding that the system has not had proper investment. So Ally reallocating their capital and budget. Truist, I'm blanking on the university, but they pulled all their assets. They used to have the naming rights for a men's field in college. Now they're an official partner for women's sports for this university. And shame on me for not remembering the university. But that tells you how effective it is for a brand to do this, that I remember Truist did it, but I don't remember the university. And so that in itself is like, these business deals are really going to make the impact. And where it makes the impact is where I'm connected with women's sports tech. There needs to be more women and diversity in the front offices of these properties. If you look at any analytics and BI team for a women's sports club or property, good luck seeing how many people are on there. It is one of the most under-resourced departments, right? And some organizations have it. Angel City FC has a phenomenal one. WNBA, I mean, they have a phenomenal team, but not every organization is getting that same amount of resources and investment. And that's where the money comes from sponsorships, where it'll impact so that ROI signal is even stronger and they can have a team that can articulate what that value is. So, we're seeing audiences that when they're exposed to women's sports, they will watch it, they will engage with it. You know, March Madness, everything. There's not a single women's sports that's not seeing some sort of signal growth and value as a result of it. Now it's just a matter of getting capital around it and growing the infrastructure.
Yeah, very well put when you talk about like capital and the lack thereof in women's sport, and because that's also kind of like what's much needed to allot resources towards like women's sport and the tech behind it. And it's so important to have tech for women's sport. We just did an article that kind of highlighted, the gap in the tech for women's sport and what should be done. And so I'd like to hear what your insight is about the tech for women's sport and how it can help grow audiences and further advance sports for women.
Yeah, you got to think about it. There's amazing technologies that are out there, but they've got to do it with intention as well. So, for example, we just released this benchmarking solution. Our thought behind it was, let's make it harder for the next Zoom to enter the space. So we used to process data just based on every client we had. Now we're processing data on everything. Doesn't matter if you're a client or not, we're processing it. So now we have the data that gives you context. And we know that is a very expensive decision to make, but that's a decision that gives us another layer ahead of everyone else. it is very easy to say, oh, we don't have any customers in one of these women's sports, so we're not going to go pull the data on that. But we have to intentionally say, no, we're going to pull that in and we're going to scan all of it, right? And so those decisions that these organizations and like tech companies like us have to make, we also have to make an investment to put this data out there. If I'm not in my audience database showing signals around women's sports, how would I know as a brand that my audience is also into this women's sports? So there has to be intention and thought and process built in with a biasness, you know, from the very beginning of like, we are going to include women's sports. And even if we're not, you know, we don't have any business in it today. And the other thing is on the tech size, as a SaaS company, some of the deal sizes for women's sports are not going to be the same as men's sports. I'm okay with that. I don't care. It's not about profit at that point. It's getting in and working with this. So that's got to be a conscious decision by tech companies to understand that opportunity. And I welcome more competition for us in that space because it's a rising tide that'll lift all boats, right? So we need more people making that effort in and putting effort into that. But it's going to take, again, that capital that's coming in. Like even the, you know, some of these investors, they want to invest into the teams. That's huge because then they can go get the resources and then they can deploy the capital and then the vendors. So when there's better buyers, then there's more sellers that are going to show up. And so I think that entire system is going to help, you know, in itself kind of move to that next. But for tech, it's a matter of having that intention, having that focus and being involved with other groups. Like just like the data is out there. The more diverse your team is, the better you're going to do in the market and the more you're going to win because you have more people that think differently. Hey, don't do that, stupid. You're not thinking of this, right? There's 100 times where I've had someone on my team say that to me because one of these people comes from a different background. They think differently. They came from a different country. It might be a different gender, might be different ethnicity. All these variations help the best ideas get grinded through to come out. And so you want a more diverse front office and team that is going and deploying that. And when we have that more diversity on the tech side, like, for example, we brought in Nikki Scott, amazing customer success rep on our team. She played professional soccer over in the Philippines. She came to Georgetown. I was giving a panel. She asked a question about one of these brands, and I mentioned, you know, an NWSL athlete and the value overshadowed what James Harden did as a male. So she pulled me aside to have that conversation. She's now on our team. She is here to like dominate women's sports through this data. That was her mission when we first started working together. But it's because I made that, like, because we brought that diversity in. And when she first met with us, we had a team of all men that were interviewing with her. And she said, later she shared this, and I hope she's okay with me sharing this. She was like, I was a little alarmed at first because it was all men for the interview that I was having for the company. But I looked, this was before the pandemic. So we were in the office. She was like, I looked outside the office. And in the corner, there was a Captain Marvel poster. And that's the female Avenger who's super powerful. And she was like, oh, I know another woman works here. Like someone else put the... So that signal was so important. But it's all these little things that add up because we have someone that knew about women's sports, that cares about women's sports, just amplifies what we're doing on that, our side. So high level, it's got to be a by intention, by design. We have to make the investment as tech companies to think about women's sports as a first-class citizen as our customers. And secondly, we have to invest in diversity in the people that we hire on our team so that we have those variations and we are thinking in that way.
Right. So right from President Obama to various sports, Zoom has already been on quite a journey, right? And so can you like tell us a little bit about what's coming up in the next few months for Zoom now?
Yeah, we've had some really exciting news with closing our Series A. We brought some really awesome investors that have operational experience with Jurassic 5. They led our round. I'm sorry, Jurassic Capital that led our round. And they came in and they worked with a company in the marketing tech space that they exited out of. And so they're giving us really great advice on how to operationalize as a vertical SaaS and help us take to that next level that we're looking to grow to. You know, it's very lonely as an entrepreneur, as all of you can that are out there that listen. So just having someone that's been through it and seen it and been able to guide us is super helpful. Secondly, we also brought in some other groups that like Lalotte Ventures that have experience with ownership with different properties that are out there and business acumen and experience there. And our mentality for Zoom is we're a take the stairs team. We never knew there's an elevator out there, right? Like, we just take the stairs, we do it the hard way. And so by forming these relationships with people with elevators, it's going to help us move a lot faster in the way that we've been building. Our vision is, primarily people know us for sports and the impact that we're making. And we're starting to grow outside of entertainment as well. And so we look at that attention that's being generated, whether it's like Ted Lasso holding up an iPhone every episode, or the asset of a jersey kit on the match, on a pregame show or a halftime or even on the field itself. That's all valuable exposure. So we want to be that authority and branded exposure across different mediums. And so this is the first step to help us go aggressively after that, scale our team and grow, and with the proper investment to go after what we want. And we've already got a lot of great momentum with the space, and we've released really new exciting features. One is in broadcast. We're able to process the exposure across linear broadcasts all across the U.S. And then separately, we're doing projects with certain streaming partners and being able to analyze the impact there. And so we feel there's some very exciting things that we can continue to do with that. So we're talking to some exciting media companies, and we're going to continue to double down within sports. But as we go into media and entertainment, there's a lot of horizon for us there. And then we just recently released that feature I was talking to you guys about with Benchmark. We're making the most comprehensive data set in data sports biz, period. I mean, this has got every asset, every logo, for every team and every pro within the U.S. right now. We're tracking it all, men's and women's. And it's done by design to have contextual data on where everyone is. How are they ranking between market, between leagues, between globally entities that are out there? We're processing this at an extreme rate. And that's because we are a tech company. There's a lot of service companies in this industry that call themselves tech, but we have APIs and we're building streamless data, returning data results less than 24 hours, almost real time from these social platforms, just like second delays, right? For Instagram, you got to constantly ask it. It doesn't just give it to you. But we're pressing these systems as hard as possible. And all of this is organically with the platforms, official APIs. You know, we're doing the Twitter Elon deal. There's a lot of people out there that are scraping. Elon's going to come after them, right? And so we're building these things in this way that we're building for a long-term vision. We're building for excellence. At the end of the day, we are asking ourselves, how can we hit ourselves as hard as possible with where there are questions in brands understanding where their value is? And when we are able to answer those questions that these brands have, that is our North Star across everything we're building. So a lot of exciting things. I know I kind of ran on there, but and we have a phenomenal team to do it. I get a lot of the credit, but we've got Mike Peek, our Chief Revenue Officer, Thomas Matthew, Chief Product Officer, Nick Cronin, my co-founder, Chief Digital Officer, James Ho, Lindsay Passat. Like, we've got a phenomenal team that I, get the credit for all the amazing wins that they do. But this allows us to go and scale this team and go after all the things I just mentioned. So really exciting times for us here.
I mean, I love that you took like the award show moment opportunity and just thanked everyone that just brought you here. Epic shout on that. I also appreciate how passionately you spoke throughout the episode. It's been an amazing spot for me just to fly on the wall here. You talk so educatedly and passionately and eloquently, I have to add. What rising tide takes all the boats up, and I take the stairs, not the elevator. Man, I should have been writing the shit down. That was really, really good. I'm glad we recorded it. I didn't have to write it. Man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Kim, if you'd allow me, I'll ask my last question because it is my favorite question to ask. Before we sign off, I always ask our guests, because I like to believe we're all sports fans first, what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one you participated in as a fan or one as an athlete yourself, perhaps?
Yeah, I've been the same height since sixth grade. So I was a center at sixth grade. Very quickly became a point guard until I went into wrestling. But the fun thing was we used to play outside Georgetown University. My dad is a doctor. I'm the son that tweets, is the joke. But so he would go and teach med school there, and I'd go play on the basketball court. So I got to play with Ewing's sons, Mutombo's nephews, and they used to call me Tony Kukoc because I was the only foreigner on the – and this was like – the prime 96 Bulls. But that's my playing career, and my favorite times was just being there and just witnessing some of those amazing people with John Thompson at the time. But, you know, Jordan joining the Wizards, even though he was old as hell when it happened. I'm from D.C. I'm that type of millennial, like where I'm from matters. Caps winning, Nats winning the championships. And then RG3 facing Aaron Rodgers was the coolest experience ever with the Commanders way back in the day. This was like 2015 as like a fan being there. And then I'll say the most impactful moment was I've got three boys that are under five, one chubby bulldog as well. But I took my eldest to the Commanders game and I bought him a jersey, the hat, Chase Young, and just, you know, it's they're not playing the best, you know, right now. And it's like giving that, it's a tragedy, right? Like, but you have to earn the passion when it is to win. And so just giving him that sort of like, here's your jersey, you're a fan. Now, I don't know if you're going to hate me or love me for it. But that moment was just like, I teared up, you know, it's just, it's so, again, it's just, sports is not just sports. It's an aspect of culture. And I guess I'll cheat and I'll say when sports came back from the pandemic, how boring was it during the pandemic when there was no sports? It was utterly terrible. I didn't even like, what are you going to watch? Like, anyway, so, but yeah, it's just sports is weaved into the fabric of culture of my life and many others. And so it's hard to pick just one, but those are all moments, but especially my son at the end, that's, you know, that one goes deep.
Awesome. No, I guess thank you for sharing that. Those are quite exciting moments to share with your son, I'm sure. And then I think we'll wait to see if he's happy about being a fan and happy about you picking for him in advance. So I guess we'll wrap up this episode and thank you so much, Amir, for your time and for all of the insights that you had for us today.
Thank you. Excited to be a part of this conversation. Women's sports, we're all going to look back at this and hopefully I can use this as a receipt of like, if you're not spending money now, you're an idiot, right? So thanks for this. Appreciate you guys putting this together with these thought leaders. This is an important industry and Sports Tech X is doing some amazing things by bringing this industry together. So thank you for doing what you guys do. Pleasure to be on the podcast.
Sports is woven into the fabric of culture. Amir dropped that thought bomb on us as we sign off. Thank you so much, Amir, once again, for joining the episode. Kim, another great job hosting it. We will, I think, maybe sneak in one more episode in our Women in Sports Tech Month. It's all about scheduling. It's all down to Kim. She'll handle that. Otherwise, it has been great to hear about the power. And actually, somebody speaks so passionately about it. I have a 15-month-old daughter who I can only hope will be able to take advantage of all this cool tech that Amir is putting out in the world. And by the time she becomes a professional athlete, fingers crossed, that's what I'm doing for all the audio listeners, she will leverage their marketing to make a few bucks for herself. Thank you guys so much. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.